Welcome in, latest episode of that SEC podcast. I'm your host, Michael Brent. Go by SEC Mike on the Twitters. And there he is, everybody's favorite cousin, Cousin Shane. How's it going, brother?
Hey, boy, what's going on?
Ooh, Shane, you just slid in here. Mm-hmm. You said you got injured. Are you willing to share what happened?
Well, I'm getting old, Mike. You know what I'm saying? I'm turning 43 years old, and we got up to the tee box, and I didn't warm up, man. I just jumped right in, and I felt like we had to get going. You know what I'm saying? Because we kind of got in front of this older couple, older than I. And about hole two, brother, man, I hit something on my arm, and I don't know, it's my good arm too. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And after that, about three holes of this thing, it got pretty bad. But you know, I thought, what would Kirby Smart do? You know, so I toughened up, and I ended up shooting 103, which is, you know, not too bad. Not too bad for a big guy. That's, you know, first time golfing, I think. But all in all, it was a good day. But I think I'm going to be on the IR for a few days. Yeah.
So you're out for the rest of the spring, like some of these guys?
Yeah, you know, you got to play sore, play hurt. You know what I'm saying? And I think I'm playing a little hurt here. So we'll see. I've been getting with Chat GPT, and I was like, hey, what do I need to do? And it said, I need to do the ice, elevate it, and compression. I think I called it something like that. Rice, something like that. I don't know.
Rest. Are you doing that right as we speak? Or are you waiting until you get off here?
No, I just took the ice pack off, you know, and my wife, she gave me some ibuprofen. So we'll say, hey, I'll be fine. You know, it's just a minor setback for a major comeback. That's what I like to say, Mike. So I'll be back. And I think I'm going to start televising some of these golf rounds, you know. It's going to be on probably. Yeah. Yeah. So I'm looking forward to it. It's a fun sport. It gets me outside. I hate going to the gym, obviously. I hate walking. But you don't realize you're doing all that on the golf course, even though, you know, I got a golf cart.
Right. Well, hey.
How do you segue from that?
I had a good one, but then I lost it halfway through that rambling. But as always, got to remind a cousin Shay, we're brought to you by MyBookie, MyBookie.ag. That's the website, the online sports book. Head on over there, put in that promo code, that SEC, THATSEC, and they're willing to give you a 50% instant bonus match. The rest of, I know we're running out of time here, Shane. If you're a Florida fan, I mean, I feel like it's smart money to put it on Florida. If you're an Auburn fan, you got the best damn player in the country. Put it on Broome. Whoever it is, as long as it's not Duke, head on over to MyBookie. And I just wish, maybe we can talk to MyBookie about this, but I wish we could do an over-under on how many more rounds of golf Shane's got in him, at least for the month of April here.
I would say I'm day-to-day. You know what I'm saying? Like, if I had to put a tag on it, you know, I think I'm day-to-day here, but I should have a better diagnosis in the morning.
All right. Jeez Louise says you're on the injured list. Cousin Mike says you're doubtful for the next game.
I'm like Napier searching for, I'm calling your dad, see what he thinks I should do. You
know? And Cousin Sam says, hopefully, Shane, you'll be in the Masters next year.
I hope, man. I keep putting in for that thing. Obviously, I've never won it. I think they're afraid of the damage. I'm going to do the egg salad if I get down there, you know?
Right.
But I would absolutely love to go to the Masters. And it's awesome. I love watching it. You know, I'm not a huge golf watcher, but I don't know, man. Maybe Papaw's on to something, Mike. The older I get, the more I'm starting to enjoy it, you know? My version is watching TikTok videos on, and then I'll say, oh, that's an easy fix. I can do that. And then I get out there and I'm like, it all goes to shit. You
know? Yeah, no, I feel you. But all right. So let's transition into what I wanted to talk about here, Shane. Yes. You're on the injured report.
Yes.
I'm a little sleep deprived. I'm battling my own issues over here. Right. So I was getting ready. I was listening to all these press conferences. These coaches were putting me to damn sleep. Most of them, Shane. So I scrapped a lot. We do got a couple clips, but I scrapped the vast majority of them because I needed to be alive and ready and fired up for this show. And I'm ready to piss some people off, Shane. I'm going out. I'm doing it. It's April 1st. This ain't no April Fools. Predicting, Shane, 10 upsets for the 2025 season And I'm strictly going off of who I assume will be the point spread underdog. Does that make sense?
Is this in order of, let's say, most likely to happen, least likely to happen, or is this just a net cast of 10 of them?
No, we don't half-ass anything on this show. We go the full tilt. So yeah, I got it ranked 1 through 10. I'll do number one last. We'll start with 10, but that's how we're gonna end this top 10, and I'm gonna see how you
all right,
I roast like my list here.
Absolutely. This is Mike's list, not mine. Stop tagging me in it. It's like Cali. I'm getting tagged in every Cali text tweet that's out there. I don't know Cali. So I do know Mike, and I know his list, and I'm looking forward to this one, Mike. Looking forward to the roast here.
Okay. Well, we'll get to that at the tail end of the show. Real quick, we got some news and notes around the SEC, Shane. How about this? Did you see this? May have missed it while you were out golfing. This came out of nowhere, I thought. Well, I mean, they've been talking about it for about 48 hours, but before that, I had no idea. Texas A&M lost their basketball coach, Buzz Williams, to Maryland. Who the hell's leaving the SEC for day of Maryland? That blows my damn mind. A&M, I know they didn't quite live up to expectations. You know, at some point last year, they were top 10 in the country, kind of fizzled in the SEC tournament, just won the one game in the NCAA tournament.
Yep.
But, and shout out our friend Billy Lucci. Did you see his viral tweet that was going around? Mm-mm. It's from about 3 years ago or something.
Yeah.
He said, "We got Jimbo Fisher, who's won a natty. We got Buzz Williams, who's tearing it up at Virginia Tech. We got Jim Schlossnagel, whatever the hell his name is, been to multiple college World Series. I feel a championship coming from my 3 years ago." All those guys are fucking gone, Shane. So shout out Billy. He's the man, but that was just a hilarious tweet. But man, thoughts on that? I know we're not like deep diving on basketball here, but losing a successful coach to Maryland, that just feels like there's something wrong with Buzz here, in my opinion.
To be honest, Mike, I follow a lot of Texas A&M fans, and I felt like I was on a roller coaster with them at times. You know what I'm saying? There were some ups this season. We were all in, but then there were some questionable downs, and I feel like the inconsistency is what drove the fans absolutely nuts. And, you know, I look at this situation as, hey, he didn't get fired. You know, you ever done that? Yeah. Like, you have, well, you may not have, because you've never, I don't know if you've ever been fired, but you have one of those awkward meetings with your manager. It's like, hey, you may want to find something else. This isn't working, top situation. And I'm not saying that's what happened here, but the people that I have followed, it seems like there's maybe not as many riots as there was when the baseball coach left, you know what I'm saying? But it does feel like there's a little bit of like, well, you know, it wasn't working out anyway, top situation. So I wish him nothing but the best, but I think A&M is in a prime situation. This is a team that shows you that they can get to the tournament. They can, you know, compete in the SEC. And I would imagine that the checkbook is open for the next guy.
Yeah, I it just kind of blows my mind. And my understanding, Shane, is that obviously it is. I know the basketball portal is open right now.
Yeah.
A&M, I think, is losing 9 guys off their basketball team. So they better land themselves a coach, because I believe the portal closes in about a week in college basketball. So that's just something to stay locked in there. How about this, though?
Is there like another portal window? Like, I'm unfamiliar with basketball portal. So if after this week, is there another one that cranks up at some point, or is this the last one?
I honestly, I can't answer that.
Yeah.
But it's not really so much that there's not another portal. The issue is all across basketball. This is kind of, it's all portal guys now, basically.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Arkansas, Kentucky, Tennessee, on and on and on. They are essentially already remaking their rosters for next year, right?
Yeah.
Meanwhile, A&M doesn't have a coach. So who in the hell is going to commit to A&M? And by the time they get someone, all the best players in the portal may have already agreed to join all these other schools. You know, you see what I'm saying? So they're just so behind the eight ball right now with the coach leaving right now.
Where'd the Maryland coach go?
Villanova. And he left because he said Maryland didn't have the money. He said they went up to, I guess, some kind of Christmas tournament up in New York City.
Yeah.
He wanted to stay up there for 2 days. They said, we can't afford it. You can only stay up there one day. I was like, so who the hell's leaving rich-ass Texas A&M for Maryland, you know?
There was a clip that was floating around during this tournament. And I may have the teams wrong, but there was a kid, and he said, they're asking about the coach or something like when he says, well, he do pay us or something like that. Is this that coach? You know, it's like they put every dime into their players, and then, you know, that's why they got no money. I don't blame them. I don't blame them. You know who does got money? Texas A&M.
Right. Well, that's certainly the case. So I think they'll be able to hire an attractive coach. But who else got money, Shane? I think it's blowing people's minds.
Yeah.
That's Missouri. Missouri football, of course. I wanted to hit that next. Did you see this, too? Again, you've been on the golf course. You may have missed it.
Yep.
Drew Pine, quarterback. Mm-hmm. Hitting the portal. So thoughts on that? I mean, he was I don't know if you call him a hero, but he beat Oklahoma, right? So, you know, he had his moments last season, but let me just say this, because this is how I'm reading the situation. The guy's played college football for an eternity. He's been at Notre Dame. He's been at Arizona State. And clearly he was, a downgrade from Brady Cook.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Brady Cook, you know, maybe arguably a top five quarterback in your school history. So that's not like I'm trashing Drew Pine. But what my takeaway from this, and I could be wrong, but I think I'm right here, Shane. This tells me two things. One, that when Sam Horn, who we've basically never seen because he's been injured so much,
yeah,
he's healthy this spring. He's a hell of a lot better quarterback than Drew Pine. So that's one thing I see. And then I think more importantly, probably if you're a Missouri fan, is Drew Pine got a look at this Bo Prabula and said, buddy, I ain't going to play because Bo or Sam or both, hopefully, are so much better than him. Mm-hmm. He just said, there's no shot I get on the field this fall at Missouri. That's how I'm reading this situation.
No BOMO. But, you know, what's funny is there was a little birdie that was talking about how well Drew Pine played in the spring. You know, there was a little rumor that out of all of the quarterbacks, he's the one that kind of shines. So does it surprise me? Absolutely not, Mike. In fact, we all saw enough Drew Pine last year, didn't we? I mean, now that he's gone, I'm not saying he's leaving the SEC or anything like that. I think what we want to see is a little optimism. And I feel like you get that with the other two quarterbacks. You know what I'm saying? If I told you right now, Drew Pine's your starting QB in 2025,
right,
it's probably going to be tough to put butts in seats. It's probably going to be tough to go to these guys and say, hey, we need a little more money because we're hitting the portal. No, I don't think that happens. You sell it with optimism. So you got coach out here talking about how great the school, how great the team is. And you go out here, you get your quarterbacks, you got a healthy, knock on wood, Sam right now. So I don't know, brother. I don't think this is news, if I'm being honest, but it is a spring and there's not a lot going on.
Right. And also I should have mentioned this as well. But I do think he would probably be fourth just cause he's a true freshman, but they also signed a really talented quarterback, Matt Zollers.
Yeah.
Who unfortunately got hurt his senior year in high school. So hopefully he's back to 100% by the fall. But again, point being, Missouri is, they've got a lot of depth, I think, at quarterback right now. I don't think this, to your point, I don't think this hurts them at all.
Yeah, he would have been riding the pine anyway. Pun intended. Pun intended.
Hey, shout out Free. He just became a member to the channel. Welcome
to the family.
Free, appreciate you, brother. Used to be Free Durden. I wonder what happened to Durden. Maybe he don't want Durden Free anymore. Hey, geez, Luis is passing Cracker Barrel right now, Shane.
Oh, I'd go for it right now. That would make me feel better. You know, I think that would help the injury a little bit if I could get in there and have some country fried steak.
Cousin Ben says Cousin Shane stands on business at the Cracker Barrel.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what? One thing I am pretty good at, and they don't talk about it often, is checkers. Gotten pretty good at the old checkers out there. Yeah. I had the nephew. We went and did a family family deal the other day and smoked him on the checkers. So, you know, they always talk about the great chess players. They don't talk about the great checkers, but I would say I'm probably top 1,000 in the country right now.
So no mercy shown on the checkerboard court.
Oh, hell no. No. No, I do not do that. And my kids don't do that. Like putt-putt, I remember I got in a huge fight with my wife. In fact, for a long time, we never went back to miniature golf because of this, because I didn't let my 8-year-old win. You know what? There's no participation. I mean, if you're out here and you got a club in your hand, by God, it's on. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Now, I went a little easy on her, you know, at the windmills and stuff. But at the end of the day, Dad had to win that thing.
Well, you know who else is? Does it show mercy, Shane?
Who's that?
Cousin JR. Come on. Cousin JR, he just gifted 5 memberships, Shane.
Oh, yeah.
Boy and his dog, Josh Broder, Matt Flynn, Hand Shoes and Horse Grenades. What a name. And Rusty, you've all been gifted memberships thanks to the legend, JR. Welcome to the family. Courtesy.
Promo the legend, code JR.
We got to give him his own promo code, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. He does. He needs his little, whatever you call that there at the bottom. You don't call it a header. What do you call that there at the bottom? He needs his own thing.
Footer.
Footer. Yeah. Well, that makes sense.
Yeah. Header and a footer.
Sorry. I was never good at math, Mike.
All right. Hey, speaking of JR and speaking of free, appreciate you guys. We got something from Kirby. I think you'll like this. I got 2 from Kirby. One you may not like. So let's start positive. Shane's a positive guy here. Mm-hmm. But Kirby's starting to sound like old Papaw Saban. Let's kick it over to him.
You were just talking about with the hard work and identifying guys post-practice. Was there something in your off-season evaluation that made you guys want to emphasize this more in 2025? And what do you have to do to kind of try to bring the rest of the roster up to the work ethic of the top of the roster?
Yeah, I mean, it's. I don't know that there's a remedy for getting the middle or bottom of the roster to work like the top. I don't know that they'll ever achieve that. I mean, the goal is to improve the roster and get them to move towards that. But it's, some people, they're just not driven like others, right? And our job is to find the right ones. Somebody said to me the other day, like, are you a good motivator? Can you motivate players? And I'm like, well, I'd rather get the ones that I don't have to motivate. Because they're self-motivated. It's the greatest kind of player to coach. And we're trying to err on that side more and more. But when you say off-season, I mean, if there was one thing that I had to say outside our 4 DNA traits that we think was missing, I mean, I'm not saying as a whole, we had players that have passion and fire, but I think that's missing across some of college football. And so, like, who's going to find that the most? Who's going to have that the most? So we're trying to find guys that have passion, fire, and, like it matters to them, you know? Like they want to compete so hard it matters to them, and we're rewarding that every day with video and showing them.
Now, I really wanted to highlight that, Jay, because I wanted to ask you this. We played Kirby about a week ago. Mm-hmm. He said we're a long way from good. He said, you know, these guys start coaching them hard. They get upset. They hate hard coaching. Now he's saying now it's difficult to find guys. You know, they're really trying to identify players that want it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And again, this ain't, no disrespect, this ain't, you know, South Alabama. This ain't Southern Miss. This is Mighty Georgia, who they've got literally the pick of their litter. They always have a top 2 recruiting class, usually. You know, number one, they get anybody they want virtually. Not everyone, but 90%. And yet we got Kirby out here saying, these guys don't like to coach. We're looking for guys that want it. You know, is this just, maybe it's just coach speak and I'm reading too much into it, but this seems like, this is why I compared it to Papaw Saban, you know, where Kirby ain't that old, but it's starting to sound a little bit like Saban to me, just kind of like old man here.
It is. It is. But I have kids and I get it. I get it. This next generation, Mike, they got it. But I mean, honestly, how many times, even at my age, I think, man, if I could go back and tell 18-year-old Shane to do this, you know, if I could have just grabbed him by his ears and told him to buckle up and do this or do that, I'd be in a better situation in my 40s. You know, we all do that because, face it, they got undeveloped brains, Mike. You know, at this age, it's scientifically proven that they are not as dialed in as they probably as a coach would want them to be. And that can be changed by the culture. That could be changed by the standards that you create. And honestly, one of the downside of a transfer portal is you see less and less of seniority in that locker room, you know, because the fourth, fifth year seniors that Georgia used to have is now playing at another school as a starter when they don't get that opportunity. So, you know, it is a little bit of a learning curve, and that's why you're seeing a lot of these great coaches go to the NFL, because they don't want to deal with the kid shit. And that's basically what it sounds like Kirby's dealing with right now.
That's what Ben says. Tell 18-year-old Shane to order that chocolate pie from Waffle House, because his day.
I told him he needs to get his fat ass in gear. You know what I'm saying? Do a push-up today, Shane. You know?
But if they're not listening to Kirby Smart, who the hell they listen? I mean,
players. You think about the great Georgia teams. Think about some of the players that came from that team. Brock Bowers is one of the greatest leaders. I mean, not only is just an unbelievable tight end, but he was just a damn parent to that football team. And Georgia needs it. Georgia needs a couple of guys to step up to put these younger kids in place. But if you don't have that, Mike, you gotta say shit like this at the podium and pray to God it gets back to them, because it's like a takeaway for the kids. Well, I'll just take your keys away, you know, which probably should do.
Do you think at all that this is any sign at all? I know we talked, I think it was on the last time you and I spoke, you know, is Georgia doomed? You know, if they go 8-4, is it over, all this, that, and the other? That maybe his, because he has also emphasized this is a very young team. Like, yeah, one of the leaders are saying is Gunnar Stockton. And I'm not saying he can't be a leader. He's been there for quite a while, but he's never started outside of the, you know, Notre Dame game or what have you. So if one of your leaders has essentially got one start, and I'm sure they got others that have more playing experience, but point being is this a very young team that maybe is not going to be as elite as we anticipate from a Georgia, at least early in the season?
Maybe. And what I worry about the most when I hear stuff like this, and say what you want, more laid back spring style coaching. I mean, we're not having the games. I can't imagine the practices are too physical either. You know what I'm saying? It's like, until the pads start hitting in fall, some of these teams have a learning curve. And I don't think Georgia, can you pull their schedule up? When you're looking at this schedule right here, I may not worry about the Bulldogs at the tail end of the season, but when you got Tennessee and Bama in the month of September, Mike, those are two teams that can beat you. And I'm not saying they want to, but if those two teams have seniority and leadership and the kids are putting in the extra steps and work right now, they are going to be better to Georgia, even though maybe, you know, attribute wise, they may have Tennessee and Alabama beat. It doesn't matter if it doesn't come together early in the season. So what I worry about the Georgia when I'm hearing this, and again, this is just Coach Kirby Smart talking, I worry about who's in control of this football team. Who's the guy? Is it Gunner? I don't know. I mean, I think Gunner's a great guy. I think he, you know, I tried not to, you know, he doesn't drive the Lambo. He doesn't quite have the phone on the hip like, you know, Brock did. But, you know, does he have this locker room? Do the kids believe in him, you know? Because if it's not him, it's got to be somebody else.
Right, right. Well, and then we got one other Kirby clip. I don't like to highlight the bad driving, because it's easy to mock and all this, that, and the other. But it's clearly an issue. And he doesn't talk about it much, but he was asked about it. I'm just kind of curious your thoughts on how he's handling this.
Kirby, you mentioned a couple of years of driving issues. Have you ever thought about saying, look, there's an ultimatum. normally each guy is going to be judged on what he does, first offense.
Yeah.
First offense. That's just on you. But when you've had so many, have you ever said, look, the next person that this happens to, it, the consequences go up?
No, I don't believe in ultimatums when it comes to that. I really don't think that's a recipe for the problem. I don't think that solves anything. We'll continue to look at each one of these on a case-by-case basis. And there's things that surround each one of these outside of just the – I mean, the immediate reaction is, how in the world can this happen again? And I get that. But each one in a case-by-case basis, you have to look at it if these are your children, because that's the way I look at it. And I look at what I would do with my children. And there's 18 to 19 to 20-year-olds. They make mistakes, and – the consequences that come with those are based on a case-by-case basis. And that's really what these two right now are dealing with.
You need to teach children how to drive in, Curry. What's your thoughts on all that?
Well, I think, you know, if he's treating them like children, then you got to be a parent sometimes. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, my kid just started driving. I think that's part of the reason why you left the small town, Mike, because you knew she's going to have four wheels and she's going to be out there. But they've got an app called Life 360. And mm-hmm. I can always tell when it's on. I can always tell when it's off. I can look back and I could track the speed. I could see everything, you know? I mean, they have this. There's no reason that these cars, you know, you're not ultimatum. You know, one thing I caught her going over 10 miles over the speed limit, but it was multiple times. And I told her, I said, if I see it again, you're not driving for a week. I'll take you to work. I will take you to school. Whatever. I'll be the one that drives you. And I tell you, the whole week, I've not seen it. In fact, the closest she got, it was like 9 miles and over. She called me and she says, I accidentally went too fast, Dad. You know, like, but the fear is in there because I'm a parent. And Kirby, he can't come out here and say they're like children and then not treat them like children. You know, there are tools that you could use to keep these kids in check. And I'll tell you what, if you're driving over the speed limit, then there should be some sort of fine or consequence on that football team.
Yeah. Well, I just figured that you're a parent. I figured you'd have unique insight into that comment there from old Kirby.
This has turned into kind of a, well, you know what grinds my gears, Mike.
All right, last one. Before we get to, I'm going to give you 10 upsets here, Shane.
Yes.
Shane Beamer met with the media. It was largely it was so-so. But he's been in on this, you know, let's play another team, whether we do it in the spring, whether we do it, you know, in fall camp. Kind of like this Deion Syracuse deal, which the NCAA said no to. He even gets into that. He believes we may be getting these now that we've got a year's heads up here.
Sorry. Yeah, I could have said that quicker and saved you 2 minutes, but that's why.
Deion almost was able to sneak in that game against Syracuse until the NCAA, you know, said no.
Yeah.
But that being coming as close as it did, does it give you maybe some hope that this could be something that will be worked on?
Yeah, definitely. Sounded like it was close that it was going to happen. Y'all know me. You were covering us when I was an assistant coach here back in 2007, 8, 9, and 10, and I was talking about it then and still am. I would love it. And I think a lot of the coaches in this league were in the same boat, that they would not be against doing it, would certainly be in favor of it. The thing that was tough this time is if the NCAA just let Syracuse and Colorado do it and not anybody else, you know, at such short notice. I mean, a lot of teams I think have already finished spring ball. We had some coaches from Furman that were here today. They were already finished with spring practice, you know. So for teams that didn't get that opportunity because they're already done with spring ball, it would be a little bit of a competitive disadvantage for them. But gives me hope, and we'll see what happens. And certainly, I'd be all for it, whether it be springtime or, you know, especially in the preseason.
I mean, this right now, this spring, this is the worst spring I can ever remember.
Yeah,
for college football, and if we had these games, I mean, it would be it would take it from a zero to like a 10 in a hurry, don't you think?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You had trouble selling tickets when they were there. You know what I'm saying? Even if it was free, there was people. We had 25, 30,000, which was great. You know, great showing. But you put a different football team in there. Yeah, brother, we may have us a little sellout. You know, I may travel to the spring game. You know what I'm saying? So you can really do a lot of fun with this, a lot of good with this. And honestly, I think it's very beneficial for the football team. So it took doing away with spring game. It took freaking Nebraska, you know, it took somebody like that, and that crybaby over there, to kind of say, oh shit, you know, we can overcorrect this and give everybody participation awards, or we can actually have something that can help our kids grow. So I love this. I think this is awesome. Who's South Carolina playing? Who want them to play?
Florida.
I was thinking North Carolina.
Something that cool, but I really want to see, because we're not getting it. I feel like we're getting robbed of it.
Yeah.
DJ versus Lenoris.
Yeah.
I mean, they used to play every year in the East. You know what?
Would you think that it would be an SEC thing, or do you think
You asked what I wanted to see. Realistically, yeah. I mean, yeah. South, that would be pretty sweet, because Bill Belichick and all that, that would be pretty cool. But it would probably be like South Carolina versus Citadel or something stupid like that. You know what?
Absolutely. Coastal, yeah. No, you're right. Charleston, that old Buccaneer that you can't remember, that'd probably be who it is. I'd love to see Belichick's Life 360.
You know, they would never do it, but it would also be kind of cool. I could see pluses and minuses, but South Carolina, like they play Virginia Tech in the opener.
Mm-hmm.
What if they did Virginia Tech and it's just like a half, and then you see who's better at the end of the first half, and you call it, and then we'll see your ass in 5 months or whatever it is.
Preview.
Yeah. How could you top that? You know, we get LSU Clemson.
Yeah.
We get Tennessee Syracuse. Buddy, there might be something to that.
I like it. I absolutely like it. I think proximity, you know, getting these kids to travel. Going to Syracuse, I'm not going to watch a spring game, but I'd go to Charlotte, you know. I'd go somewhere like that to watch it. So, I think it'd be awesome.
All right.
Now, watch them have neutral site spring games. We're like, yeah, this defeats the purpose, you know what I'm saying? Mercedes-Benz, like, how can I get in on this action?
You know what else is awesome, Shane?
What's that?
Ridge Wallet. Come on, Ridge Wallet. Ridge.com/SEC, Shane. That promo code SEC over at ridge.com. That'll get you 40% off, Shane. They're having their once anniversary sale over at Ridge Wallet. These are unique, slim, modern designs for wallets, Shane. These are state-of-the-art wallets that'll hold up to 12 credit cards. You know what? Slim down my pockets, Shane. I've been trying to slim down this spring. My pocket already got slimmed down thanks to my Ridge Wallet. This is made with premium metals like aluminum, titanium, carbon fiber. Might be the nicest thing I own, Shane. Lifetime warranty on a Ridge Wallet. This wallet will last you the rest of your life. Over 100,000 five-star reviews. Check them out at ridgewallet.com/SEC. Don't forget that promo code SEC over at ridge.com. Get you 40% off, Shane. You can't beat that price.
You can't. Absolutely. No, it's awesome. It's great quality. And, you know, something ever happened to me, Mike, I think the first thing that paramedic would say is like, damn, he's got a nice wallet. Yeah.
Okay, buddy. Top 10 upsets.
Yeah.
You're going to hate some of these.
Oh, shit.
Which is fine. It's absolutely fine with me, because I'm not doing these for you. Yeah. I'm just telling you what's going to happen. And it's time for you to get on board, Shane, with the Florida Gators. Come on, Shane. Oh. Come on, Shane. It's starting early. Last year, we shat the bed. This year, we're starting hot. We're carrying over from last season. You already know it, brother. I'm going number 10. And again, I'm ranking these. 10 is least likely. 1, I think, is most likely. It's also maybe the hottest. But number 10, Florida. You want to predict where I'm going real quick?
They're underdogs in about all of them. So which one?
It's not the Sharks. It's at LSU. Come on, Shane. Florida has not won at LSU since 2016. Anything stand out to you, Shane? It's so funny. I didn't realize that until I put this list together.
Yeah.
Do you remember the 2016 Florida LSU? You should, specifically you, that's a clue, should remember this one. Do you remember it at all?
What year?
2016.
2016, 9 years ago. Was that the homecoming one? No.
I don't think it had anything to do with homecoming. But
no.
This was the one where Tennessee needed they needed LSU to win.
Yeah.
And it was like first and goal from the two, second and goal from the three, third and goal from the one, fourth and goal from the one, and they went over the pile and they couldn't get it. So Florida won and they won the SEC East. It would have been Tennessee. That's why that was the clue there that you missed. But be that as it may, Shay, they don't win that often in Baton Rouge.
Mm-hmm.
But I got more confidence, believe it or not, in old Billy Napier than I do Brian Kelly right now. And I got more confidence in DJ Lagway, even though he can't throw a football right now, than I do Garrett Nussmeier. Is that a crazy take?
Yeah. Because, again, I know it happened last year. And I think there's a couple of factors in this game, this particular matchup. One is LSU was able to keep their quarterback. If they had a little bit of a turnover, if they weren't so successful in the portal, you know, I feel like LSU, you're kind of sleeping on a little bit and maybe pumping up Florida a little too much. But, hey, that's why they call it upsets, Mike, and that's what, I guess why it's at the bottom of your list, because it's least likely to happen.
Yeah, again, this is not like, you know, I'm saying – LSU's got no shot or anything like that. You know, I anticipate LSU at home will be the favorite team.
Do you think it helps LSU that they'll be battle-tested by the time they have this matchup? You know what I'm saying? Like, if you're looking at Florida, they kind of got a cupcake, you know, start to the season.
Perhaps, but what if LSU loses to Clemson? How much does that really help them? I mean,
they always lose.
and they always... Yeah. Have a bad year. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. You may be right. I think it probably hinges on that one, but being at home, I don't know. The fact that they did get the upset last year, I think there's there's a lot of kids still on this roster from last year. So this thing may have gotten a little bit more personal. And it is a rival. You know, they don't like to call it that, but it is a rivalry.
Mm-hmm. Well, speaking of LSU, Shane, number 9 on the board, I see an upset. And this one, there's already a point spread. Any guess of who I'm picking LSU to beat as an upset?
LSU to beat as an upset already? Clemson?
Yeah! Clemson, hey! Week 1. Damn with you, Dabo. They are, I believe, a 2.5-3 point underdog right now. LSU is probably only because it's on the road. Clemson's going to be favored to win the ACC, I believe, once again. So, again, this would not be like some monumental upset by any means. Basically a coin toss, but they get the home field advantage, so that's probably the difference there. And LSU has not won a opener since 2019, since they won the national championship. I think this is the year they do it, Shane. I think they stuff Clemson back in that locker. I don't understand the hype. I mean, hell, it was not that long ago we were saying Dabo's in over his head, and I think because they beat SMU, and it was like a miracle that they even beat them, they got back into the playoff only because of the auto bid.
Yeah.
But for some reason, Clemson's getting all this hype. I'm not buying it.
And Brian Kelly doesn't lose 3 years in a row for a season opener. It just doesn't happen, Mike. Yeah. Feels a little bit like Tennessee in the Final Four. You know, that's the only downside. It's like, oh, it can't happen again, right? Oh, shit. So, hey, this is probably one of the biggest games of the year. Slightly underdogs here. So I do like this. I do think that LSU again is going to surprise a few teams. And I think you start that banner year by having a big win against them Clemson Tigers.
Right. Well, Shaden, I think I've even started to win you over a little bit when it comes to this next team. Number 8, Oklahoma. I got them pulling an upset here. And you ain't going to like it, brother. Oh, you ain't going to like it. But give me Oklahoma. I was at this game, Shane, last time they played at Neyland Stadium. Come on, November 1st, Tennessee Vols, John Mateer. I mean, my goodness, Shane, I can't go a day without hearing how great John Mateer is going to be. We got, you know, I've seen on 3, our buddy Matt Hayes. I just retweeted a really good, apparently John Mateer's pissed off that everybody in the SEC passed on him coming out of small town out of Texas there. So this seems like a man possessed this year. give me Oklahoma beating Tennessee. And here was critical in my decision, Shane. Look at Tennessee's schedule, buddy. I realize Mississippi State, you know, we're not giving them much love. Probably shouldn't. Arkansas, maybe the same deal. Alabama, Kentucky, and then Oklahoma. It's just so many SEC games back to back to back to back. I don't know. I think this is one we're sleeping on. Again, this is an upset. I'm not saying, you know, that Oklahoma's just going to come in here and whoop Tennessee's ass or anything like that. But I don't think it's that big of a stretch if Oklahoma makes massive improvements on the offensive side of the football so that they can go into Neyland Stadium and beat them Tennessee Vols.
Speaking of sleeping, I'm sleeping on that hot take, Mike, because it ain't happening. Get the hell out of here. One of the most exciting parts about that game last year was just how emotional it was leading up to it and after. You know, you see Coach Hopple, you see the football team. There's a – say what you want, man. They got up for the Oklahoma matchup, and I think they'll do the same thing here as they're looking for an opportunity for a college football playoff spot. I was worried about them going to Norman last year, but it's different in Neyland. The last time they were there, it wasn't good for Tennessee. I feel like this is going to be a different type football game. And I get why you're saying that, because I feel that way about every Tennessee game. Like, I hope they don't lose this one. You know what I'm saying? But hinging it on John Mateer is I think you hit the nail on the head. If he's legit, and we'll know it by this date, then that line could definitely shift. But if he's not, you know what I'm saying? One of the things mm-hmm. that Tennessee was notoriously good at last year was creating turnovers and mistakes. And a guy like Mateer, a Brett Favre-esque top player, may be exactly what Tennessee wants to see in Neyland.
Right. So let me just boil it down very simply. And I know it's hard for you to be objective when it comes to Tennessee.
Yes.
But if Oklahoma is better, and hell, it'll be hard for them not to be as bad as they looked at times. And Tennessee is not as good. Again, yeah. I'm not saying either one of those is a guarantee. But if Tennessee's not as good and Oklahoma's better, what's your level of concern that this could be an upset?
I'm more concerned about Tennessee not being as good as I am Oklahoma being just better. I do think Oklahoma will show improvement, but I mean, they're pretty far behind right now. And Tennessee, I'm anticipating a good season, a lot of that based on a schedule, but all that goes right out the window if you lose to a team like Oklahoma, just like they did Arkansas. There's teams on their schedule that you pencil in as a team they should beat, but as a Volunteer fan, you know, for 43 years, we find ways to lose games like this as well. So yes, I can get why you're saying it. I just, at this moment, don't think that's the one that that Oklahoma sneaks up and gets.
Yeah, and the thing that I'm least confident in that prediction, mm-hmm. it's because it's at Tennessee, and Tennessee's been awesome at home under Josh Heupel. You know what?
Absolutely. Absolutely, brother.
Now, how about this? I think you're going to like this, Shade.
Does it get better? This list is trash right now.
I know you love them Auburn Tigers this year. And say what you want to get about Hugh Freeze. Yeah. I love the guy. He wins games. He's not supposed to at times, right?
Yep.
It ain't going to be Georgia. I'm telling you that now. It ain't going to be Georgia.
Yeah.
It's going to be Alabama. How about that, Shane? Alabama coming to Jordan-Hare Stadium. I think Alabama will be favored in that game, but there's magic in that stadium. And it's what Hugh Freeze's reputation is built on, beating Alabama a couple times. What's your thoughts on that? Auburn beating Alabama at home.
Well, you know, I think you said this last year. So I think there was a strong Iron Bowl prediction, and it did not come to fruition, but I think they got a better shot this year, because at this moment, I think Auburn will be on the uptick. I think Bama takes a little bit of a step back. Not big, but just enough. This could be a very, very intriguing football game. I think you could just throw the record. You could throw the rosters right out the window when you have these two teams. It does help that it is in Jordan Hare. I always say that wrong.
Jordan.
But yeah, but I do think that this is a pretty good one. I need some.
Okay. How about this one, Shane? This has been a damn house of horrors here for Arkansas. But they're finally, Shane, back home. October 18th. Texas A&M comes to Fayetteville. Give me Arkansas to pull the upset with all the bad mojo of Jerry World. That was like an exorcism there. I think the fact that we're getting it back at home, I think that'll be enough to turn the tides. Again, they're not, I'm not saying they're going to dominate A&M for the rest of time or anything like that, but just getting it out of that building, I think that's going to be fantastic for the Arkansas Razorbacks. Give me an upset there. Arkansas over Texas A&M in Fayetteville.
What a big one that would be. What has it been, 48 years since they beat them? Is that was no, it just feels that way. You know, we talked to Ty, and it just, this was a game that really stuck in his crawl, you know. And there have been, the thing is, there have been a lot of winnable games for Arkansas, but they just keep finding ways to lose it. This one could be very intriguing. I think this, I think it'll be a coin toss by the time we get to it, brother. I think this will be a really good football game, and you're right. I think there is an opportunity Arkansas could pull off that upset.
Yeah.
I like this one.
Okay. Okay. Well, that's one out of five you like.
That's the one right there. That's the show. See ya.
Now, I don't even know if this was considered an upset. I mean, it will be by the odds maker, Shane, but you know how I feel about old Diego Pavia.
Yeah.
And we know. Who do you think? I there's a lot of people that seem to dislike Diego Pavia. I don't get it. But who loses sleep the most over Diego Pavia? Like when they gave Diego one more year, who said, "Oh, this SOB again"?
Hugh freaking Freeze.
November 8th. Come on down. Vanderbilt's beating Auburn. Ooh. Give me Diego to go. I think this would be, I'm trying to add it up here. I think he'd be 4-0 against Hugh Freeze if he could do it. He's beaten him at New Mexico. He's beaten him at Auburn twice now. This would be the third time Diego is beaten Hugh Freeze at Auburn. Fourth time overall. Again, I don't even know if that'll be an upset by the time that game rolls around. But I don't think Vanderbilt's really going to get the benefit of the doubt from the odds makers for literally any game probably in conference play.
No, you're right. You're right. And there may be a shot here. Nah, they'll still be an underdog. If, you know, Vanderbilt is going to catch somebody, maybe two people. They did it last year. It's a very tough offense to kind of prepare for. You know, I kind of lean to surely not this year. When you talk Hugh Freeze, it's like surely not again. But it is, I mean, it is right after that Texas game. I don't know. I'm feeling like this is kind of crazy talk the more I think about it. How can I sit here and say Auburn's a fringe playoff team and then worry about the Vanderbilt Commodores? I don't care how nice that stadium is. Get that out of here. You almost had me. You almost had me, but it ain't happening. Hugh Freeze, I'm in your corner. Stop DMing me.
Well, if you hated that one, you probably will not like this one either, Shane. I know you're a fan of both these teams, but give me South Carolina. And again, I don't even know if this will be technically an upset, but I think it shall be, Shane. South Carolina over Missouri at Missouri. And that's why I think it'll be considered an upset. Missouri has owned this series up until last year, of course. But I'm pretty confident in this one. I like South Carolina better than I like Missouri as of today. But I think both these teams go into this game undefeated.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be a hell of a game.
And you think Mizzou would be the favorites here?
Yes, because it's at Mizzou.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, how can you argue? You saw it last year. You know what I'm saying? They had a really tough time doing anything with South Carolina at times. I don't know. It was an emotional game. It was a great game. I still think that this is going to be an awesome matchup. Talk about a lot of heaters in Mizzou's schedule. We talked about how easy their schedule is, but having Kansas and Mizzou within the first four games, you know what I'm saying? Two of the teams that you hate the absolute most. This is going to be awesome to watch. Can it happen? Absolutely. I think one of the biggest question marks you're going to have is the quarterback for Mizzou. I know we just talked about Pine leaving, but what does that quarterback room look like game four? You know, I know exactly what South Carolina's quarterback room looks like, and it may be the best. So, yeah, I could definitely see an upset being pulled off if South Carolina is technically the underdog in this game.
Right, yeah, they may be favored, but I'm pretty sure they'll be the underdog, even if it's by one, you know?
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. You going to put something on it?
I'll put this on it.
Yeah.
I'll put a Shop Bando. Come on, say Shop Bando. .com. Don't forget that promo code SEC. Most importantly, over at shopmando.com. Shane, what's that promo code SEC get you? $5 off a starter pack, which is 40% off the entire unit there, Shane. What is this starter pack? It's a solid stick deodorant, cream tube deodorant. I love the cream tube. I put that everywhere, Shane. Two free products of your choice and free shipping. That's what a starter pack is over at shopmando.com. Mando.com. Most importantly, don't forget that promo code SEC to get you 40% off. Clinically proven to block odor all day and control it for 72 hours. All products baking soda free. Do not tell us about your cookie experience, Shane. You already told us that. It's got nothing to do with Mando, but shopmando.com, SEC, $5 off. You know what?
I'll tell you what it does. People are pleasantly surprised. Big guy smells so good. You know what I'm saying? The elevator opens up and you're like, oh shit, I got to get in with this guy. And then you're like, ooh, this guy smells really good. Thank you, Mando.
All right. Top three, Shane. I tried not to have too many non-conference games in here, but I think you're going to love this one. Come on. The luck of the Irish done run out, Shane. Texas A&M's going up to Notre Dame. Going to whoop that Irish ass. I think it's going to be a complete reverse of last year. I know we've said that before, but I think Notre Dame is in rebuild mode. I think A&M's out for blood this year. Give me Texas A&M to go up there and just cripple the Notre Dame's chances of making the college football playoffs.
I like it, Mike. I absolutely like it. And because Notre Dame should not be I always say this every year, they should not be a team that's in the college football playoffs. Now, granted, they did embarrass them Georgia Bulldogs last year. I don't think that happens. I think that was kind of like the perfect storm. Remember that movie, Mike? When just the factors were coming in. We had three hurricanes coming together at the same time.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's what happened last year with Notre Dame. They've hit their ceiling. The ceiling comes down September 13th when A&M runs through them. I like this.
And I didn't, I didn't realize this.
Like, what do you think the spread would be on this game?
Well, I was just going to say, I should have done a little bit more research on Notre Dame because they, again, I don't think much of Miami either.
Yeah.
But they open the season at Miami, and then they have a bye week. Week two, they got a bye week. I mean, Notre Dame could be 0-1. If Notre Dame is 0-1 and A&M's coming in here undefeated.
Yeah.
But, I mean, again, you're not going to get a ton of respect for beating, you know, UTSA and Utah State. But there is a small chance that A&M is favored. But I still think, again, betting favorites, that's something different than really who's the better team. It's got a lot to do with name brand. Notre Dame, we may hate them, but they're one of the biggest brands in all of college sports. So I think I'm very confident that Notre Dame will be favored. Probably not by a ton, but I think they'll be favored against the Aggies.
Yeah, I'm looking at their schedule now. They got Arkansas on there, USC. That's about it. That is about it. Boise State, you know, week five. Other than that, Notre Dame. Yeah, this is their Super Bowl, boys and girls.
All right, now here's where I really get wild, Shane.
Shit, you're already there, Mike.
And I swear, I didn't do this. It happened exactly how I laid it out. You know, I was going through these coach clips. I was like, good Lord, I'm not in the mood for this. I want to have some fun. I want to have some excitement. And yes, we are recording on April Fool's Day. I didn't realize that when I put this together, but this is not April Fool's, Shane. This is not April Fool's. You know how I love these Sooners. I'm going back to the well, brother. I think everybody's sleeping. Nothing runs like a mater, they're saying in the comments. Give me Oklahoma, Shane. Who are they beating? We already know.
Michigan.
Texas. Texas going down, Shane. I think Oklahoma's going to be undefeated going into Texas, just like 2 years ago, Shane. Oklahoma was a damn underdog in that one, too. Texas, God's gift to football, yeah. And then they came out here, Oklahoma, shocked the world. And they told me, everyone told me when I went down there, it doesn't matter who's favored in this game. It usually, strange things happen in that Cotton Bowl, buddy. So give me Oklahoma, pull the upset, whooping Texas ass come October 11th. Thoughts on that?
I think you've lost your damn mind, Mike. You have lost your damn mind. And this is up there. This should have been a number 10. This should have been 11.
No, this is number 12. Two. I'm confident.
He's that confident. No, I love. Hey, you get me there in Oklahoma. But now, I don't know how many swirlies they fed you before you got on this damn show today, Mike. But you've had too many. You're cut off. You're cut off. They got Arch Manning, man. You were talking about how mature they got Arch freaking Manning. Don't forget.
Yeah, they sure do. They sure do. All right, number one. If you think that was wild.
Oh, man.
I'm uber confident about this one, but I think no one will anticipate this, right? This is gonna be a wild one, Shane. I'm going to the well. I know you're down on Alabama. I'm high on them. Which team do you think they're least likely to beat this year?
Georgia.
At Georgia. Alabama, Shane. Alabama owns Kirby Smart's ass. I think they're, 1-7 against Alabama? I think Alabama's on a revenge tour. Just listen to Kirby Smart. These kids don't want to be coached. We're looking for guys that want to play hard. All I'm hearing is nothing but problems at Athens, Shane. So give me Alabama. I think hiring that offense coordinator, Ryan Grubb, I think that's going to be a game changer.
Yeah.
I think this should be kind of closer to, a pick 'em type game. I know it won't be. I think Georgia will probably be favored by about a touchdown. Give me Alabama to go in there. Spank Kirby's ass once again.
Oh, man, what an up and down season Bama's got coming here, you know? Beating Georgia, losing Auburn. Jeez Louise. Probably dropped a Vandy, too.
They're going to be eyeing the playoff. They're like, we've already got the playoff locked. That's why they're going to lose to Auburn.
You may be right. It may be one of those Lane Kiffin-esque, you know, like, do we even need to play this game because we're already in there? So, can it happen? Absolutely. It happened last year, Mike. But will it happen? I don't know, man. Kirby comes out here and says all this. I can't read into coaches. I can't have one coach tell me how great their teams are or how great the spring is going and then think that, hey, let's just crown them, because I don't do that. I don't crown the team, but then you got a coach out here that's frustrated. That's coaching. You know what I'm saying? That's what that is, and doesn't mean they can't fix the problem. It's just they're identifying the problem right now, or at least a solution. So I don't know, brother. The fact that they lost this game last year,
they lose it every year.
That's true.
except for the one time Alabama had all their receivers hurt.
Damn. You're right. Isn't even an upset now, you know? It's just
so here it is, Shane. Here's my 10 upsets. I even made a little graph here with the winners highlighted on the right there. Maybe the one you most strongly agree with and the one you maybe most strongly disagree with.
Strongly agree with. That's tough, Mike, because I hate your list. But let me go strongly agree with Texas A&M Notre Dame. I feel like them Aggies, you know, they started out the season strong last year, and, you know, we got second-year coordinator. We've got Reed getting all the one snaps here. I know they've got a lot of moving pieces in that wide receiver room, but one thing that they will do is be physical and run all over them, that Notre Dame team. So I feel like that's a done deal. Notre Dame absolutely gets embarrassed, probably lose. They're probably lost two games at the end of this one. Now the one that I disagree with, besides all of them, is without a doubt Oklahoma, Texas. You know, I've not got to experience a lot of the, what do they call it, Red River rivalry now, or I don't, they call it something else.
The shootout.
It was a shootout, but we can't say shootout anymore. So,
oh no, wait, I still say it.
Yeah, this shootout was far from. I mean, the only shots were Texas last year, and I felt like they could have ran some more points up on them here. I don't know, man. I'm not saying Oklahoma can't be a good team. They can't be an improved team. It's just at this moment, I feel like Texas is a little bit further along than them Sooners, and I expect them to own that rivalry one more year.
Okay. Okay. Well, you're wrong, but okay. all right. Anything else, buddy, before we hop off the line?
No, man. I mean, again, this is your list. So when it comes out, just remember that's SEC Mike. Cousin Shane had nothing to do with this one. I tried to help you guys out. Probably hurt some feelings along the way. But no, it's been awesome. I can't wait tomorrow to catch up. And, you know, it's a little slow, but look, we still got some college football action heading your way. And if we get some, we will be sure to make sure you get it. So I'm rambling. I need another beer.
All right, buddy. Well, hey, I appreciate you. As always, appreciate each and every one of you. We'll catch you on the next one.
See you guys. Go Balls.
Hey, buddy. This beer's for you, Mike, and Cousin Shane. That SEC podcast loves the pirate, and the pirate loves that SEC podcast. Hail State.